It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's KSL's unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback, as always on the show, former University of Utah great, and also a member of the Nebo School District Sports Hall of Fame. So congratulations on that.
You know, not everyone is a member of the Nebo School District Hall of Fame.
That is true. Not a lot of people.
Not easy to get into that one.
Only a handful went to Nebo School District. So yes. There you go. Joining us on the program for our 805 cut is Ben Anderson, our NBA Jazz insider, all things that have to do with basketball. He's joining us for our 805 cut. Let's kick things off with Ben then.
The cut at 805. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
All right, so the NBA is next in line to be a major sporting association who wants to get things
it's
going.
It's their turn.
Yeah, they're dying. You know, they're watching everybody else kind of put their toes in the water.
It's cold. We got next. Is that where
yes.
they are? We got next.
The water's cold, definitely, but everybody's just wanting to jump in. Ben, yesterday, Board of Governors meeting with the NBA. What did they talk about?
It really seems like they're starting to kind of get the wheels in motion to get the season back. It's no longer just kind of these hypothetical situations of, hey, would we play games here? Are you comfortable playing? It kind of feels like they're trying to get this train moving in the right direction to get the games back this summer.
What I don't understand, I wish someone would explain this to me. This sports population is not the population that we should be concerned about it. I mean, Rudy Gobert he was infected. So was Donovan Mitchell. And did they turn green? And did they, you know, and so I'm just asking this question. I'm not trying to be insensitive here. Why should we care? Why should we be so worried? Because if they get infected, it's not like they're going to have some serious health issues with it. And if they do get infected, just keep them quarantined for 14 days, and that's that. Am I missing something?
I do, and I've wondered this since the beginning. Wonder how many players are potentially always playing with, you know, immune deficiency disorders, or how many guys do have potentially vulnerable immune systems that could make them at a higher risk if they did have to come back and play. And that's not something they're going to disclose to the public in general, or may want to keep private, you know, before the draft, that maybe after they get into the NBA they can talk about a little bit more. But I don't know if any of these guys are playing with asthma or what their issues are. So there could potentially be some of that. But I'm with you, Scott. I do think one of the original fears was we just got so scared of this so quickly without a great understanding of what the virus was or how dangerous it was or who it's affecting that we're going to have to work our way back to a new comfort zone of just, hey, it's okay if some people get sick. These people probably aren't going to have long-term effects from it. It's probably not going to change their life outside of a couple of weeks. And we just have to find that new comfort zone. And that's hard to do because we've had to reestablish this new comfort zone to get to where we are now over the last couple of months, and we've really struggled to do that.
If you are, you know, an owner, how does this work? Like, because I could imagine there are some organizations, because they're all individual franchises, who are going to go, we're not ready for this. Is this something they end up voting on? Is this something that they end up, that the league just goes, we're doing this, the Players Association's on board, and then we're moving forward, and the teams just have to comply?
Yeah, can you get to a point where 29 of the 30 teams are comfortable coming back, but Mark Cuban says the Dallas Mavericks aren't coming back, and then what do you do?
Wow.
You just don't have a playoff team? I mean, I do think that is something that, and I guess the value of having the union here in the NBA is that the union will vote on the majority says they want to happen, will happen. And that will have to be the case, and I would be stunned if you had one owner say he wasn't going to allow his team do it if there was 29 other teams, or maybe it's only 16 teams that come back to complete a playoff series or a playoff run. I do think the fact that there are some unions here should eliminate some of those one-offs of what's going to happen. And then really the ultimate union is the capitalist union that we belong to. Everyone wants this money back, and I understand that completely.
I think it's hard when you have some people go, I'm wearing a mask, and some people go, I'm not going to wear a mask.
Right.
I mean, I could totally see how these teams would,
if you've noticed, like,
be,
you,
like,
we all have,
you know, freaked out about it.
Yeah, we all have, like, friends. We all have that friend or a handful of friends, or if you go to Walmart, the three quarters of Walmart, it seems like,
right,
that they're like, I'm not going to be wearing a mask. And you go, okay, well, we're doing this over here. And so it's going to be like that from team to team, from locker room to locker room. And, you know, the UFC is one of these things. We talked with OC yesterday about this. And, you know, Dana White kind of goes, he's kind of the cavalier cowboy as it is. And their league is that type of a league. And so they just go, we're going to take the risk. And we'll make that risk because we'll do all the testing we can and try to be as safe as we can. But we're also going to try to get on TV before everybody else. I mean, the NBA certainly wants to recoup dollars that way when it comes back to getting on television.
And you know what? Ronaldo Souza tested positive, and they pulled him out of UFC.
Right.
And the event still went forward, and everybody was tweeting about it. And you said, oh, that seems like a rather practical solution to a problem. And I do think, again, that's getting back to this new normal of where we have to say, look, if you test positive for COVID-19, you're not a pariah, you're not a bad person, you have to sit out, we need you to stay away from us for 2 weeks because we don't want this to spread. But that's not just sports. I mean, that's how all of us are going to be when we're allowed to go back into the Triad Center. You know, we're going to go back, and someone is inevitably going to test positive again, but that doesn't mean we expect everyone to stop coming to work. We're going to test all the people they came into contact with,
mm-hmm,
ideally. Hopefully we have a good, fast test at that point and can get results, you know, that day. We send everyone home maybe that day from that department. But then we come back the next day when we get our cleared test back. And I just think that is what life is going to look like. And that's okay. And I think the NBA is going to be okay doing that. But somebody has to be first, and nobody wants to be first because it's going to look bad. So having someone like UFC do this, or golf do this next month, or baseball in early July, those are all just going to be important steps for healing. And really, again, a cool story that sports is going to be able to do to get the world moving in the right direction again.
What I want is for LeBron James to get it, and maybe, you know, Antis, you know.
Who's to say he hasn't had it?
Yeah.
The Lakers didn't disclose who had
well,
it.
Well, I don't care. I'm just thinking my dream world here, and cuz I think that would be kind of a fitting number one guy. It would be a fitting scenario that it's like, you know, clearly probably the favorite to win the championship, and they didn't win the championship, and maybe a team like, you know, Utah maybe had a chance. You know, maybe it was one of those things where Utah gets in the finals. And because some other team had to sit some of their players, or some of their players got sick, so that would be, to me, I think that would be a fun thing. Do you think, you know, you mentioned these other leagues, do you think that's part of the hesitation? It's like, well, we don't want to be first, but we're certainly going to watch and see what happens with golf and what happens with this. Do you think that factored into their decision at all, or do you think they're just kind of in their own world trying to figure this out?
100%. I think it's all related. And one of the things that they did talk about that has come out from this Board of Governors meeting that you were talking about yesterday, and even Adam Silver's conversation with NBA players last Friday, was a detailed breakdown on what every other sports league is trying to do to get back. And why not pick and choose and steal ideas and figure out what works and figure out what doesn't work, and let some of these smaller leagues be guinea pigs for the next, you know, 30 days. And then when you kind of figure out what has been successful and what's failed, you try and replicate those or get those out of your system so you're not going to repeat those same mistakes. And, you know, that's what every great company does. That's what smart companies do. And Adam Silver, he's a good leader, but he's not, you know, he's not dumb. One of the reasons he's a good leader isn't because he makes everything up and tries to reinvent the wheel. He looks around and sees what works and says, how can I steal that? How can I put that into my league? Which is why he's talking about stealing, you know, European soccer-style tournaments to put in the middle of the NBA season. He's absolutely aware of what everyone else is doing, and I think that's a positive development.
Stealing is a longstanding practice in the NFL too. No, it really
sure,
is.
Sure, I know.
It's a copycat league.
Well, they even say it. They go, "We're going to try this. We're going to try this in these dumb leagues and see how it works out, and we'll steal some of those
this
ideas."
This is the dumb league idea.
let's take a quick break, and Ben, when we come back, I want to talk specifically about what the Jazz are doing and where they're at with returning back to the practice facility, if that is going to end up being more than a handful of players at a time. So how that works. Stay right here with us. More to go. Ben Anderson stays here with us from KSLSports.com right around the corner, right here on KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.